Little Emily biting her sister, or is teenage Barry refusing to help around the house? Consulting psychologist David Carey joins us to answer all your parenting woes. It's time for our parenting slot. When David Carey joins us once again. David, how are you?
Hardy har har.
First question for you. Any ideas why a four-year-old would start staying awake for up to 2 hours after bedtime? They make no noise and just stay in bed lying there wide awake.
Well, I bet there's dozens, if not hundreds, of parents would like to make a switch here. Huh?
Yeah.
I have no idea. Maybe the room's a little too hot. Is the bed comfortable? Are the covers too warm? Are they too light? Is there any kind of ambient noise that may be awakening this four-year-old? Did he have a bad dream? Who knows? I don't think he needs to do anything about it. He wakes up, he lies there comfortable, he goes back to sleep.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be a biggie. If he's
not
freaked out about it, then that's not a problem.
Yeah. At 4 years of age, I would assume he's able to communicate to mom or dad any distress that he might be having in the night.
Yeah.
So if he's not doing that, and I wonder if you've asked, maybe he doesn't even know he's awake. Maybe he looks like he's awake, but in fact is in a very light sleep state.
Okay. Yeah.
Look, I don't know.
Yeah.
Simple answer.
But they don't seem to be distressed by it, so it's probably not a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I think of all the sleep issues that children have, this is one of the best ones.
Mm. Now, it could be that the child isn't in bed for 2 hours, that they sneak out a window, steal a car, drive it around for a while, then come back in, and they're just committing the perfect crime.
Yeah,
the perfect four-year-old crime.
Yes. And I would encourage the parents to search in the bedroom press for hubcaps.
Yes, that's probably the best thing to
do,
just to be on the safe side. Any advice for a child who was told about recent terror attacks by her cousins? She's sleeping terribly since and says she's worried that something might happen to her family when they're out. She's 6 years of age.
The unanswered question here is, how long has it been since her sleep is disturbed?
Mm-hmm.
If it's a matter of days or a week or two, the cycle will probably revert to what was previously acceptable. So if that's the case, there isn't anything you really need to do. What's the best solution in these situations? Communication. Talk to the child. Ask her what's on her mind. Are you worrying? You know, children respond very openly and honestly. When you ask them, do you have any worries?
Mm.
They tell you.
Yeah.
First they'll say yes, and then you can ask, what are they? And they'll explain them to you.
Yeah.
And that's when some reassurance about the nature of what was told to her. You know, it's frightening, but very unlikely to happen. You're safe here in our home. We love you. Our job is to keep you safe. Reassurance. And should she continue to be ruminating about these worries, distraction is going to be necessary. Generally, these kinds of things just work themselves out in a short period of time.
Yeah.
We do have some conditions of childhood called adjustment disorders. Usually after an upset happens, a child can have an adjustment disorder. It can have anxious features. It can have depressive features. Typically, within 3 months, it goes away.
Because there was a period there for about a week where on a daily basis some new horror was being reported, and it was very difficult to avoid it, even if you were trying to avoid the news.
Yeah, it was almost impossible to avoid it.
I mean, it's probably difficult for most adults to deal with. I don't mind explaining it to kids.
A lot of adults had an increase in anxiety, not to the level of having an anxiety disorder, but just being more alert, more mindful of the fact that in the age we live in, something horrible can happen in an instant. That does trickle down to children. They're aware of the news. I don't know how old the older child was that told her about this. They might want to have a chat with that child. If it was, for example, a teenager, then they need a little bit of instruction about being aware that six-year-olds can become quite unnerved by these kind of bad events and talk about them and not to do it so openly.
Yeah. My 16-year-old daughter is watching what she's eating and is underweight. I've taken her to the doctor and he's monitoring it. She's a middle child with an older brother who struggled with anxiety and a younger sister who's very confident and strong-willed. I'm concerned about her confidence and self-esteem. She seems to be struggling. How can I help her?
This might need some looking at by a professional. The fact that she's very concerned about her eating pattern and is underweight could be a precursor to an eating disorder. I'm absolutely thrilled that you went to your GP and that it's being monitored, because that's critically important. Mm. There could be anxiety or depression in the picture that can be easily identified with a one-off consultation. So talk to GP, get a referral somewhere, and make sure that the clinician that you're seeing knows exactly what your concerns are. They can screen for anxiety or depression and find out whether it's out of what we would consider to be the normal developmental age range for a 16-year-old. If it is, it can be treated.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't leave it, to be honest, if it was my child. I'm always concerned when someone, particularly a young girl, is overly interested in what they eat and then begins to lose weight.
Yeah.
Now, that's not a good sign.
No, it's not a good sign. It's on a spectrum, of course,
yeah,
but an awful lot of teenagers are very concerned about what they eat.
Yes, yes. And of course, the media has a lot to do with that, and advertising and our images of what we believe is beautiful youth, et cetera. And it's all distorted and wrong. We all know it, but we're bombarded with it anyway. The vast majority of teenage boys and girls don't develop eating disorders despite all of that.
Yeah.
The vast majority of them live healthy lifestyles and watch what they eat and eat healthily without even thinking about the word diet. Because to lose weight, the worst word you can have in your head is diet. It's guaranteed to make you gain weight, not lose weight. So it's all about eating more healthily, getting regular exercise. And these are the things you want your 16-year-olds to be involved and invested in, not to become obsessive about what they eat to the point of beginning to lose weight.
Just going back to that question about the child who can't sleep because she was told about some of the terror attacks. Someone's texting to say, I've started telling my 5 and 8-year-old kids that what they see on TV isn't real. I don't want them being afraid to go outside. Perhaps I'm wrong, but I'll explain it again when they can understand better.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Mm.
Because it is real.
Yeah.
And if they go in and tell other children that it isn't real, that's going to cause a bit of argy-bargy socially,
yeah,
because some other child is going to contradict them very strongly. It could come up in classroom conversation. Teacher will deal with it and explain that, yes, these events are real. They did happen. And talk about it and open it up to classroom conversation. So not crazy about that way of handling it, to be honest.
Yeah, because I suppose it's because it's such a scary thing. If then their peers are saying, no, it is real, then they're going home and going, this is a very scary thing and I can't trust you about it.
It's very important for children to be able to identify fantasy from reality.
Yeah.
And if you're told what you're seeing on the television news is not real, that can be incredibly confusing, particularly to a younger child.
Yeah. Myself and my partner of 3 years have just got married. We wanted my daughter, who was 5, to attend the wedding, but her mother refused to allow her to go. We now want to put up a wedding picture, and it's only a matter of time before she figures out we got married. How do I tell my daughter? Should I tell her I wanted her to be there? Her mother can be difficult, and when we separated, she stopped access to my daughter. I had to go to court several times to see my daughter and get joint guardianship. Any help would be greatly appreciated.
Oh, this is one of these unfortunate situations where the child is used as cannon fodder in the war between an embittered, nasty, self-absorbed parent and the former partner. And only the end result always is the child gets confused and hurt. I have a question here, though, Sean. Why did they get married and not tell the girl?
Yeah.
I'm wondering about that, because you have joint guardianship, which would imply, I could be wrong, that there's some sort of regular access.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
And so you're planning a wedding. Wouldn't it be almost inevitable that the child would have caught wind of the fact that there's a wedding being planned? There would have been talk about it. There would be wedding materials around as people look at things and
now maybe they
menus.
Went to Vegas and got married, or you know, one of those kind of things.
As a general rule, it's good to tell children these things. You don't need to conceal it. Now, I understand there's difficulty here between the two former partners, the parents of the child.
Mm.
It was wrong what the custodial parent did, refusing the child to attend the wedding. That is a wrong thing. It should not have happened. That's not just a mistake. That's deliberate badness with intent. And it only is going to cause confusion. I think the situation now is such. Explain to the girl or the boy, whatever. I think it's a girl, isn't it?
Yes,
it's a daughter. Just explain myself and Patricia or John, whatever you end up marrying. We got married and we're very happy and we both love you very much. If questions are asked, why wasn't I there? Very small wedding, really couldn't do it, actually. Sorry, honey. Let's look at all these beautiful photos we have. And we'll tell you everything you want to know about it.
Mm.
If there was a video of the wedding, show it to her. It's not too late to include her in the fact that there's been an important transition in your life and that you and your new partner still love her, care for her, and will help look after her together as best you can.
I just wonder, is there something else here now, that in the sense that you're right, it is odd that they didn't tell the daughter in advance that they were getting married, and maybe her mother didn't want him to tell that, and maybe I'm speculating a wee bit too much, but given that they had previous problems with access and all the rest of it, maybe there was an implicit threat there that if you start telling her about this, I'll keep her away from you again.
Well, these things do happen.
Yeah.
So even though it's speculation within the bounds of reality.
Mm.
We don't know. However, regardless of what the antecedents to this may have been, it's probably time to let the little girl know that you're married, that you're happy together, to share the photos with her, to talk about the wedding, not to play it up too much, answer any questions she may have. Why wasn't I there? Well, I think maybe you want to smooth that over, because the wrong thing to do on the other side is
say your mother wouldn't let you.
Your mother wouldn't let you.
Yes.
That just compounds the problem. So it's time for some conversation. Be open about your happiness. It's wonderful that you have access to your little girl again. It's awful that parents put each other through this nonsense of the courts as a result of bitterness and what really essentially is malignant narcissism. I care so much about me that I'm willing to hurt my child to hurt you.
Yeah. Somebody, just going back to the four-year-old who lays awake for 2 hours a night, someone wonders, could that kid who's just lying awake be eating too much sugar? It is a possibility.
It's always the sugar, isn't it?
They might
finger at the sugar.
They mightn't be that quiet, though, if it was sugar.
I wouldn't think so, no.
We did get a question there about from a listener saying that he and his partner just got married, but he's a daughter from a previous relationship, and that daughter doesn't know they got married. And now they wanted to bring the daughter to the wedding, but the mother was against that idea. That newly married couple should announce that they got married to the child and have a celebration with the child. That might be one way of doing
it. Nice idea.
That's a nice idea.
Very nice idea.
Now, my son of 11 years can just drop off to sleep at the drop of a hat. Even if he's watching a football match, after a couple of minutes, he's gone. This is the same if he's in the car. It's like he can't focus on anything for long periods of time. Is he lacking vitamins or something?
Well, the latter part of the question isn't one for a psychologist to address.
Yes.
That's one for the GP. This may or may not be a problem. And I have absolutely no idea. I think this is a situation where you want to at least make a phone call to the family GP, explain what you have observed, and ask if the GP feels as though they need to see the child.
Yeah.
Because more likely than not, it's just a child's innate ability to nap, which we now know is a very good and healthy thing. These little short micro naps that some people can just take. Some people can't. I'm not a great napper myself and never have been.
Mm.
But lots of people tell me, oh, I love my little afternoon nap. 10-15 minutes?
Yeah.
I'm like a new human being.
Mm.
So that just seems to be the body clock, so to speak. So I don't know if this could be a problem. I think the only way you're going to find out is to run it by the GP and trust their answer. If it's just a little nap and he dozes off because he's comfortable and watching television and in the car, I can nod off in the car if someone else is driving.
Yes, a lot of people would do that. But I suppose when they say that, even if he's watching a football match, you'd assume, you know, if he's a fan and he's hyped up, and it's not the kind of thing you nod off in front of.
Yeah, I'd want to know if he's a football fan first.
Yeah. He's not, and that's the point.
It's like going to the opera, you know, and Wagner is your first opera ever. You're not going to make it through without dozing off.
Yeah.
So there's unanswered questions, as there so often are. Probably not a problem.
Yeah.
Vitamin deficiencies, tell you the truth, very uncommon.
Yeah.
In this day and age.
I mean, could it be narcolepsy or something like that? Or is that...
Well,
yeah. Again, that's a GP question.
That's a GP question.
Yeah.
Now, the GP probably can't answer that question. That needs a referral to a pediatric neurologist. Mm. So, but you want to go very slowly on these things. Let's not create a problem out of it if it isn't a problem. I'll tell you where the acid test may be. Talk to teacher end of September.
Yeah, good point.
How's the boy doing in school?
Yeah.
Is he able to stay awake through lessons? Because you have now 40, 50-minute literacy lessons and math lessons. That's a long time, even for an 11-year-old, to sustain their attention and concentration. If he can do it there and manages to stay awake all through school and isn't drowsy during break time, I don't think there's a problem. So let's get some more info. GP, teacher.
Kids falling asleep in class isn't that unusual either.
Oh, absolutely.
Read in between the lines in this one. I assume this is a separated couple. My six-year-old son was left waiting at the hall door for his father, who didn't show. How do I explain that to my son?
Oh, God. I don't think there's a lot of explaining to be done here because you want to go very gently. We want to do nothing to add any toxin to the boy's relationship with his father. Mm. We want to help him understand that sometimes grown-ups can't be where they said they're going to be because things come up in their lives and they can't make it. And I'm sure Dad will try to do better next time. I'm going to assume this isn't a chronic, repetitive pattern.
Yeah.
Talk about that if it is in just a second. So I don't think you need to explain too much except that. Children are quite resistant at 6 years of age, at most of them anyway, and they can deal with the disappointment. Now, if the father has a repetitive pattern of saying he'll be there and not being there, you need to talk to father.
Yeah.
And remind him that he has a responsibility to his son and not to open his mouth and say things that he will not follow through on, because that will eventually damage the relationship between the boy and the father, and it will be the father who's committed the damage.
Yeah.
So if it's a pattern, talk to father. You really must do that. If it's only happened once or twice, these things do happen. I mean, things come up, unfortunately, and sometimes when parents have separated, they don't feel comfortable ringing up and saying, I can't be there, or afterwards saying, I'm terribly sorry. I was detained at the dentist thinking the other person will never believe them. It will just cause further acrimony. It's a delicate situation. Be careful not to disturb the relationship between your son and his dad. And talk to dad if it's a repetitive pattern.
Yeah, you can see. I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into it. I can detect a note of anger here from this person.
Understandably, of course.
It must be very hard to say sometimes this happened without, because I'd say she wants to wring his neck.
Well, absolutely, rightly so, because the custodial parent is left with a disappointed child with a hurt look on his or her face.
Yeah.
And if this is happening too frequently, it's painful to see your child disappointed like that.
Yeah.
But sometimes you really have to bite the bullet and communicate with your former partner.
Just going back to the little fella who keeps falling asleep. That kid falling asleep needs to stop watching the Premiership. He's only reflecting what's become of that league, says one texter. Someone else says this is about kids and how much they're kind of shown or told about various atrocities that are taking place. My niece has been traumatized by global warming since she finished school in June because her teacher told her class they would be extinct in 100 years. We've tried to tell her not to worry, but her summer has been ruined because of it.
Well, I have
what
to...
What an idiot.
Well, if it was said, it's a stupid thing to say. There's no doubt about it. Now, sometimes children will mishear things.
Yeah.
So let's not take it for granted.
Yeah.
However, I would want to ask the teacher.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just, you know, not by pointing fingers and saying, oh, my God, how could you be so dumb, you idiot. But my daughter is really upset now about global warming. She told me you said that you'll all be extinct in 100 years. Did you say that? Just handle it low-key.
Yeah, and maybe get the teacher to say, oh, no, that's not what I said at all. And maybe...
Well, that's exactly what teacher is going to say, isn't it? Whenever you ask.
One would hope so.
I never said that.
We have an 11-year-old boy who's being bullied in school and summer camp. What's the best way to help him stand up for himself?
The best way to deal with this is to absolutely ensure that school executes its duties and responsibilities under the guidelines of the Department of Education and Science. They are very strict. They are very clear. Every national school in the country and every secondary school has an anti-bullying policy as part of its packet of information to parents. It must be followed to the letter. In regards to camp, you need to talk to camp directors. This is a case of what are we going to do to the victim to make them better so that they can endure torment and torture. We don't do that. Right. We work with the perpetrators and the enablers. Sometimes people don't see what's right before their eyes, unfortunately. So that the teacher in school, camp counselors, or coaches of sports teams may not see what's happening all the time. There's many, many children in front of them. Obviously, we hope they do, and most do, in fact. The answer and the solution is to talk to the people responsible for the day-to-day care of the child when he is outside of your home.
Mm. Is there anything in that concern that they're looking at their 11-year-old and they're saying, you know, the way boys can do this, boys can smell vulnerability and they can smell who might be the easiest bullies, and then if there's a bully in that group, they will go and do that. Yeah. And how so as not to exude that, message from himself.
That's a very difficult and angular road to go down, because what are you going... In fact, I get these referrals, by the way. You know, my son has been bullied because he's very artsy and he doesn't like sports and, he doesn't have things to talk about with the other boys and he's being excluded. What can we do to help him get more ammunition so he can engage in slagging and banter, etc.? You can do some of that, but you can't just do that. You've got to make sure that the environment in school in particular is harmonious, safe, nurturing, and encouraging. Mm. If it isn't any of those things, it's not a school.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you have to take other steps.
Is there an argument, though, about that one should equip your kids if they don't have those skills, because they're bound to meet some git at some point, whether it's in school or in work?
Well, that falls under the old adage of life is tough, full of hard knocks. So, by God, I'm going to show them where some of these hard knocks are, you know. How do we do that? We don't really know how to equip your child with those kind of skills so that they won't be bullied, quote unquote. What is it that makes a bully be bullied? I think we're looking at the victims a little bit too much and not the perpetrators. We know a good deal about why people bully and what's happened to them in their life and in their backgrounds. We know a lot about what goes on in school about bullying and what the policies and procedures ought to be. They're unfortunately not always implemented to the letter. And sometimes very, very misfortunate things happen to children who have been extremely bullied.
Mm.
Particularly cyberbullying, they're sometimes blamed for having set themselves up.
Well, indeed. And just going back to the little girl who didn't get to go to her daddy's wedding, could they have a blessing in a garden and bring her along, have another form of wedding day, just the three of them? That's another nice suggestion. And on the 11-year-old who's falling asleep, my son was like that, was dozing off in the bus, the car and at story time. Turned out to be dairy intolerance. Once he was off the dairy, the dozing stopped.
Yeah, and
so
I think
you never know.
That's where you you run this by the GP first before you assume.
Listen in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. here on Moncrief for more parenting advice from David Carey.